They described as their problem as catastrophic. They took a plant which they were going to shut down, and instead of shutting it down, they rolled the clock forward. And when they rolled the clock forward, their assembly line, the robotics, stopped.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Crystal.
And I'm your other co-host, Robert. And this is Reenacted, a podcast where Crystal and Robert talk about that great show, Unsolved Mysteries. And this is a very special recording because this is our first explicitly reward episode for all those following us on Patreon.
That's true, but we're not actually going to talk about Unsolved Mysteries. The show. We're going to talk about another more personal unsolved mystery that tangentially involves Robert Stack, but it's not actually an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
I don't know. I have some things to say about that because.
Do you think this thing we're going to talk about is part of the canon of Unsolved Mysteries?
No, but certainly the introduction they have, I think this video was very much produced to come as close to being an episode of Unsolved Mysteries without actually being so. There's a lot to talk about in that regards.
So what are we talking about?
When we were discussing ideas for what to do for our first Patreon rewards episode, thank you again, all those who are handing out money, you're helping to substantially reduce the pocketbook cost that this pod is for Crystal.
Yes. We'll finally be able to buy that bright pink Corvette we've been saving up for.
But the idea I put forward was to watch the Y2K crisis video that was released featuring Robert Stack. Mostly because I kind of feel that for our, at least some of our reward stuff, it should be Stack related in some way. And
none of that Farina shit up in here.
Fuck Farina.
I mean, rest in peace, but
yeah,
but also wait, fuck him.
Is he dead?
Dude, he died like 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. It was like a while ago. No,
what?
I'm kidding. Dennis Farina's dead, man.
Oh, man.
It might have been like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Up to 10 years ago.
God. Well, I mean, even though our fuck Farina thing is not really an expression of our true sentiments about Farina, because he was in this short-lived CBS show called Buddy Farrell that I really liked. It lasted less than one season. So, but, you know, I just feel bad. He's gone.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is breaking news, I thought.
Honestly, I'm not sure if I can continue.
Oh my, do you need to take five?
Are we going to have to do some sort of in memoriam episode?
Yeah, I'm putting together the PowerPoint right now for that.
Yeah. What the fuck were we doing? Oh, yes. Our rewards episodes have to be Stack related in some way, even if they aren't necessarily an Unsolved Mysteries or not necessarily all of our rewards, but we gotta get some Stack in there. And thankfully
gotta get it in.
Yeah. And thankfully there's a lot of, you know, Stack related media out there, not just in terms of films and television he was on, but also direct-to-VHS cash-grab videos trying to cash in on whatever the flavor of the month thing is. I guess we're much like the Y2K crisis, it kind of requires a little explanation for younger listeners. If you're around in the 90s, it was not uncommon to go into the video section of a store or someplace and just come across these videos that were just quickly thrown together on whatever topic they thought might sell some tapes and thrown out on the shelves. So, like the internet was a big thing. So you got videos like, what is the internet? Mm-hmm. And we watched a video that was also technology related.
Mm-hmm.
The Y2K crisis. If you're not immediately aware of what that is, this stems from, it was a problem of some degree, I guess, in the 90s. And it stemmed from computer programming. The programmers, I guess, but back in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, it's like the 60s and 70s, really, is when it started.
Yeah, they figured no one would be using the stuff they put together by the time we got to the new millennium. So instead of using space to have all four digits of the year represented, they just used the last two digits. So 1972 became 72, 1999 became 99, and 2000 becomes 1900?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big concern, was that this nonsensical time change would, I guess, cause a worldwide crash of all technology, and we were going to be living in a Mad Max type environment.
Yeah, I mean, it was... the predicted the end of civilization as we knew it. Like, planes were going to fall out of the sky. ATM machines were just going to start spitting out cash.
Year 2000 cuts all the way across the organization. It will affect your heating system. It will affect your door locks. It will affect your cryptographic equipment. It will affect a whole lot of things in your environment.
It was going to be pandemonium.
That's literally the sort of mental picture I had of it. In the leading up to Y2K, so did your family do any Y2K preparation?
No, did yours?
Yes, my mother. I mean, her and I, we put some precautionary effort into this. We weren't Y2K prepper crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like stuff that we did for it was also stuff that just coincidentally could be useful stuff to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So she purchased a generator. And let's see here. We did not need to buy toilet paper until at least 5 years after the year 2000.
Oh my.
Yeah, we had a lot of toilet paper and, you know, canned foods, all that jazz. We kind of, like, after the year change, we just sort of only went to the grocery store for fresh fruits. Mm-hmm. and then milk, and everything else was already in the pantries for mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the most, you know, my main Y2K story. Other than, I did kind of, this was my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I did kind of based some of my studying allocation on the premise that civilization may have collapsed with the upcoming time change.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, when it did not, I was massively unprepared for like a semester-long project that I had to frantically put together at the last moment.
So wait a minute. You were using Y2K to like not do your homework?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we made any preparations. I remember like my mom being like, don't worry about it, it's fine. But I also lived in an area at the time that had pretty frequent power outages. We also had our own telecom system, which is weird, but we just had like basically a city telecom that handled the internet and phone stuff. And I think they had rest assured taken care of the issue well ahead of time with the year change. So I don't think, and I lived on an island, so it was kind of like not really being in civilization anyway.
Oh yeah, that island you were on.
Yeah, remember how I was on that island?
Remind me, was there a pizza factory on the island?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man.
There was definitely a pizza factory. The video we watched, I put it on again right now just to remind myself of it. I think it starts as sort of a boomer propaganda piece.
At the lightest touch of your fingertip, a thermoelectric refrigerator, food chilled, or in only a few seconds, heated and ready to serve. A refrigerator for all places with a special place of its own.
Oh man, the 1950s were great.
It's like, look, hey, look, we were rocking out to surf rock and we had cool cars.
When we were washing those cars in our driveways.
Yeah, and then we were hippies. And then we made computers. And then we became greedy fucks. Sorry. So anyway, another real enjoyable piece in this video is that it's all the vintage C-SPAN 2 footage.
Oh, man, isn't that the best?
I don't know that it was the best, but it's there.
Man, we get it. It's been so long since I've thought about Senator Robert Bennett.
Yeah, or the head of the Fed.
Yes.
From 1998, I guess.
Yeah. Is C-SPAN like once it's created, are you allowed to just show it on any program? Yeah. Okay.
I think it's like fair use property.
Fair use. So that probably explains why this video makes very, very extensive use of that to pad out the running time.
Yeah, it's C-SPAN footage. It's stock historical footage.
Stock historical footage. And Robert Stack in a it's not a studio. He's against a green screen, right?
It looks that way. There's a lot of like swirling colors and shit behind him.
Yeah, and with different panels that, you know, one has the year 1999 and below it more ominously like the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a picture of a clock clicking close to midnight. Mm-hmm. And there is like a computer on a square platform, and I think on another platform there's an hourglass. So they're really emphasizing that time is running out.
Yeah, time is the fuck up in the year 1999.
Yeah, what caught my eye right at this very beginning is like as soon as he steps in frame, he starts saying all this stuff that whoever wrote it was clearly writing it with the eye of, I don't know, tricking gullible people into thinking that they might be watching an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Mm-hmm. Because like the first things he says aren't about Y2K. He steps in and he's like, in most cases, a crime is committed. Investigators must painstakingly piece together the clues. I mean, doesn't that all just sound like, you know, stuff that is meant to sound like Unsolved Mysteries dialogue?
I wonder how Stack got wrapped up in this.
Hmm?
How did Stack get wrapped up in this? Do you think it was his idea or do you think it was an easy paycheck?
I would wager all my money that someone came to him with a large check.
Well, it couldn't have been that large. I mean, look at the production quality.
To be like, hey, you want a new car? Mm-hmm. And Stack's like, how much do you need? He's like, an afternoon in a studio. I'm there.
Many people wonder, is this a real problem? One we need to understand and address? Or are some people just trying to capitalize on a perceived crisis to advance their own agenda?
Yeah, in all honesty, I mean, just the line, like, confusing and unknown. I mean, they're trying to say unsolved mysteries as close as they can to like saying it without actually saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this whole video, other than being a Y2K cash-in, is also an attempt to be like an unsolved mysteries cash-in in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my personal take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But even before he gets into that, actually, like in that opening narration with the montage of the fifth time, the last half century. Did you catch when he said, "Houston, we have a problem"?
You know, that reminds me, there's been this meme on Twitter, not a meme, but it was this picture that's been floating around on Twitter of this NASA branded shirt that says, "Houston, we have a problem."
Oh, like this is actual merch put out by NASA?
Yeah, it's real NASA merch, and just NASA's getting roasted over selling this, because it's essentially, you know, when the Apollo mission was failing and people were about to get like burned up in our atmosphere, like that's what the message was. And like, now it's on a fucking t-shirt and people are like, this is in poor taste, you guys.
You know, I suppose it is in poor taste, but by the same token, if you're probably as cash strapped as NASA is these days, what else are you going to put on a t-shirt?
You think they have like a merch table?
Out
on Cape Canaveral or something?
I want to look that up right now. NASA store. The space shop at NASA. Space apparel and gifts.
Oh.
Ooh.
So they do.
They do. They honestly do. It's just like, you know, going to like the HBO store or something.
Yeah,
They got something for the 50th anniversary of Apollo.
Uh-huh. Is it that shirt?
I'm not seeing that shirt yet. Let me go to Men's Apparel, property of NASA. F9. There's "Talk Nerdy to Me," and there's a picture of glasses.
I don't like that.
They got an Apollo. Oh, there's one with an Apollo 13 badge, but what's written there is "failure is not an option," which I think, isn't that also a line from the Ron Howard movie?
Yeah, I don't know that the person in ground control actually said that.
Yeah.
That time. Wasn't that Ed Harris's line?
That was Ed Harris's line, I'm sure of it. Yeah. There's one with Snoopy. Don't be a tourist, be a traveler.
In space? I guess,
let me click the picture, because I think, yep, he's got some sort of like dome helmet over his head. But he's still wearing his fighter pilot cap underneath it. I'm not seeing that questionable. Maybe, you know, it's not on the t-shirts. It's not on the polo shirt.
Well, Robbie, while you're at it, do you think you could dig up some Y2K merch?
Shit.
On the NASA site, but just generally, like
eBay.
eBay. There you go. You know, I was talking to, in preparation for our conversation about Y2K, I was trying to remember what I was doing on New Year's Eve in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall what you were doing?
Yes. I believe I was writing fan fiction, and then I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And woke up to the... I remember the New Year's celebrations in Russia. So, okay. Yeah, nothing exciting, just the usual. It was pretty much probably indistinguishable from everything I already did at night. Just in front of my computer, banging out Tron fan fiction.
Tron fan fiction.
Yeah, man, there wasn't very much of it on the web those days either.
Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan confirms that we could face a major problem ahead. During a congressional testimony, he admitted that we don't know how big the problem is.
If I recall, let's see, that would have been my sophomore year of high school. So you must have graduated. I guess you graduated in 2000. I graduated in 2002. You were 2 years ahead of me.
I was 2001.
Oh, 2001. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would have been a junior on the
senior, yeah.
Wait, no. In December of 1999, you would have been a junior if you graduated in 2001.
Oh, goddamn, you're right.
So does this change your answer as to what you were doing on New Year's Eve 1999?
Probably not. Well, you know, it may not have been the Tron fan fiction. What was it? Maybe it would have been a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan fiction.
Okay, very, very appropriate.
Yeah.
I think somehow I was with my girlfriends in high school, and we had gotten a hold. I don't even know what happened, but somehow my group of girlfriends like went to a party at this guy Patrick's house. I don't know. I don't know how we got there. At some point, we ended up getting really drunk. Everybody was making out with everybody else. And that is the night that it would be the first time I would be making out with someone who came out of the closet later in college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That happened a couple of times to me with different people in high school.
I was about to say, when you say the first time, does that mean that was a...
It was really the gay maker of my high school.
Oh, wow.
But that guy just got married, and I was at his wedding, and it was a great wedding.
Oh, it was a guy.
It was a guy. Yeah. I thought I kind of gave that away when I said gay. I guess that could have implied it was a woman.
I was just throwing that in there. Okay. To be obnoxious. I assumed it was a male.
Yeah, it was a guy who got married last year, and I was at his wedding in Seattle, and they opened up the floor for toasts, and I fucking roasted him at his own wedding. He loved it.
Oh, nice.
He said it was his favorite part. I assume other than getting married to his husband. The part where 20 years later I roasted his ass. So that was my New Year's Eve in 1999. It was a pretty good one. And it was kind of this feeling like, you know, it could all end tomorrow and we're young and free and
lives. I mean, it's actually kind of interesting. Your Y2K memory is actually a real memory and not just part of an aggregate of repeated task that mine was.
We have gone way off topic here. We're not even talking about Y2K, and now we're just talking about high school.
Well, I think, in all honesty, my suspicion is if you're a reenacted Patreon, I kind of have the feeling that's more of what you're seeking than just descriptions of.
Or, I mean, what if they abandon us because all they want is hardcore stack action?
Well, we'll just have to put a poll up for them in a special poll because, like, you know, like everyone else, it'll be rubbed in the faces of everyone else that they're not getting this exclusive content. Mm-hmm. I was kind of actually thinking, should maybe like at the end of each of these, we should speculate on what we should do for the next one and maybe come up with two options and let the patrons vote on it. Yeah. Can you set up polls on the Patreon?
I can't do that, but I can do it on Twitter.
Okay. But yeah, to answer your one thing real quick, I am finding some on eBay, some Y2K, you know, like practical solutions for home preparedness and a lot of snow globes.
Huh?
There's a lot of like snow globes themed to January 1st, 2000.
Please send me a link.
Okay.
I would like to see that.
Let's get back to the video.
The Y2K video. I just saw a flashing title card that said Nasty Turbulence.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And then it was followed by a video of Winston Churchill. And I don't have the sound on. So I don't know how these things are related.
No context. Yeah.
No context.
Well, the thing is with this video, you really only need to know that. I mean, it's mostly a cash grab. I mean, It's Robert Stack in the green screen for an afternoon, a lot of C-SPAN footage, and then some guy pounding together graphics and stuff with different categories. And honestly, like, I don't know about you, but at some points with, like, it kind of felt like, because they, I think, don't they mention some book, Y2K related books and stuff?
Yeah, I noticed that too, that this quickly becomes sort of a plug for a book in the way mm-hmm. that Unsolved Mystery segments have been in the past.
Right, right. Something that we would scorch Unsolved Mysteries for, but yeah. I mean, you really can't, like, how much more can you damn this particular video, because it's already an attempt to just make money. So
yeah. On the potential deep disruptive impact that Y2K may have on the public, government officials are increasing the odds of a panic reaction and aberrant survivalist behavior.
One of the things that's coming to mind, they're showing a lot of pictures of, like, Bill Clinton, because he was the president at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but back in the year, let's say, 1993.
Yeah.
I was there when Bill Clinton and Al Gore cut the ribbon on the internet after Al Gore invented the internet. I was there that day.
What?
Yeah.
This is something that you've never told me this.
I was there. I saw Al Gore invent the internet. I'm not even fucking with you. I had an opportunity when I was in elementary school as one of the gifted and talented children. I was invited
to... You were
to
a GT kid too?
Yeah.
All right.
You can't be surprised by that.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm just glad. Yeah.
So mostly that meant nothing, but I think it was, no, this had to be like 95. And I was invited along with some other students to go on a field trip to attend then President Bill Clinton's event with Al Gore. And I don't know if you know this, but it's extremely rare for the vice president and the president to be anywhere at the same time, besides maybe the White House. This is not done. Okay.
Right.
So we went down to, I think it was Palo Alto, it was like a elementary school in Palo Alto. It was pretty far away from where I actually live, so we had to get up really early in the morning, and then we stood around forever, and then Bill Clinton came out on stage, and it was a bunch of school children and, like, teachers and stuff, and it was the first Net Day. They were declaring Net Day.
Net Day.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that this continued beyond the Clinton presidency, frankly, but... Yeah, and Bill Clinton came out, and then Al Gore came out, and he said some things. This was kind of like Al Gore's, you know, baby. This was his initiative. The vice president doesn't do much, but they have, like, some things they take on, you know? Yeah. And then they stuck around and shook everybody's hand. And I remember getting very close to Bill Clinton, and I saw the magic in his eyes. As a child, I was like, I understand. Why everybody likes this guy so much. Yeah.
So, okay. So what you're describing is something that actually happened?
Yes!
Okay, like, I thought we were just playing a game.
No, I'm telling you about something that happened in my life that is very related to the video that we were talking about. It wasn't quite Y2K, but it was the beginning of, like, putting the internet in schools, and that's what they were celebrating, is connectivity. Schools, that was Al Gore's thing, because he invented the internet.
Okay. I think I see. I thought you were just going with this extended joke about, like, how people misinterpreted, like, some statement of his to mean he quote unquote invented the internet when he didn't really make such a claim.
No, he didn't. But I would say credit where credit's due. Al Gore made a huge push to get schools and universities wired up to this new thing called the internet. That was his baby, and I don't think we would have been one of the first countries to be so connected if it hadn't been for Al Gore really taking the initiative on that politically. So he invented the internet as we know it, definitively. That's why we can have this podcast, because of Al Gore.
And why people can spread lies about vaccines ever larger.
Yes, yes, and share Harry Potter weird slash fiction and all of the other terrors that have come. The motherfucking nightmare that the internet has become.
It was a nice idea, Al, yeah. But maybe humanity just wasn't ready for
it. Yeah, I know. I was kind of winging about, whinging about the state of the internet as it is now. And I was really remembering, like, I really think 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002 was kind of the golden age.
Yeah.
Because the corporatists hadn't really come in and figured out how to monetize every single thing on the internet. And it was basically this open free-for-all. And if you could get in there, you could say whatever you want and do whatever you wanted. And yeah, it was really an ad-free time where websites were unreadable for different reasons, but not because they were loaded with, like, autoplay ads.
Oh, GeoCities.
Yep, GeoCities, fucking Netscape, hell yeah.
Man, I miss Netscape Navigator.
Do you?
I mean, it was the first browser I ever used. I kind of, even though I haven't used it since the Clinton administration, I kind of wish it was an option, you know? I mean, I don't know if it would be any better or whatnot, but man, seeing that little N with, like, the, you know, getting illuminated, and what was it, like a comet would fly by it or something in the little corner. Gosh, man, Netscape Navigator. Having to sit around and wait for my stuff to download for about an hour. Mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. Good days.
Yeah, or you'd want to download a saw on MP3 and it would take 2 days. And you'd have to keep stopping and starting because someone would call the house and knock you off the internet.
God
and,
damn it!
And you're just trying to fucking listen to, like, Sublime or whatever.
Said because of the tremendous liabilities and threat of litigation, there is an absolute silence from corporate America on year 2000 preparation.
One might say that our faith was heightened, our anticipation was great, mm-hmm. and we approached it with a mixture of sobriety and celebration, which were all words that were flashed on the screen when they were talking about millennium changes in this video.
I feel like I think maybe we were too young to really get on board with this, but I think 1999 must have been also, like, a very, like, horny year.
It surely must have been.
I mean, it must have been so horny, right? Like, if you think this is it.
Totally. Like, well, do we have any data on what childbirths and stuff? Like, maybe 9 months after the millennium, we really saw an uptick, or I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sitting on any of that data. I'm just assuming that it was a hornier time.
Year 2000 cuts all the way across the organization. It will affect your heating system. It will affect your door locks. It will affect your cryptographic equipment. It will affect a whole lot of things in your environment.
However,
I don't have any data to back that up. Come on.
Well, you know, let's see here. 1999. Didn't Coyote Ugly come out that year? what other like horny movies of the 90s?
I feel like Showgirls was earlier than 1999, wasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it was.
That was a very horny movie. That. What about Wild Things? Was that
98, 99? Oh, I think. Yeah, that's totally a horny movie, and let's see here. That was 1998.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, other than general horniness, I was wondering if the Y2K or year 2000 problem, if we're being technical, actually resulted in any problems in the world?
Yeah, you know, that was something that I was definitely interested in when the year was changing, and I was watching the news and I think I recall watching some little segment on the news program, and it was just basically, you know, it was like just a small handful of relatively minor problems. Mm-hmm. Some businesses' ability to process payments shut down for a day or something.
Yeah. One of my favorites that I found was that 150 on this is on January 1st, 2000.
Okay.
150 Delaware lottery racino slot machines stopped working.
Interesting. You know, if we took the sort of dire warnings that this Y2K video was alluding to, and you know, put it next, you know, back to back with that, it does seem like Y2K was not as big as we were expecting.
No, it kind of seemed like computer programmers started making preparations for it and addressed the problem in code, and then that was the end of that.
But all the videos I saw said that it was too late.
I do have one thing that I found that's really kind of messed up.
Okay.
If we want to, I mean, this isn't a joke. This is like really messed up. In Sheffield, United Kingdom, incorrect risk assessments for Down syndrome were sent to 154 pregnant women, and two abortions were carried out as a direct result of a Y2K bug that miscalculated the mother's age. Four babies with Down syndrome were also born to mothers who had been told they were in the low-risk group.
Oh, man. That's definitely not good, and that's not something to joke about.
No, it isn't. But considering how bad we all thought this was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, compared to Mad Max, or just chaos, people running around smashing, like just basically the New York City blackout, but everywhere. I'd say that's, I mean, not to say that, you know, it wasn't significant for the people who experienced that problem, but that's not civilizational chaos. Well, my final thought on the video is kind of expressed by one of the very early lines of dialogue Robert Stack had before, I think still in the intro segment, when he's like, you know, people are wondering whether, you know, this is a real problem or if it's just some people trying to capitalize on a perceived crisis to advance their own agenda. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he said that, I immediately said to the screen I was watching, you mean the agenda of putting out VHS tapes about Y2K?
You know what I love about this is even when you pull up the video on YouTube, it like whoever put it up, it says it has the thing that would happen when you turn on a VCR.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that, but I distinctly remember by this point in time having a DVD player in my house.
Yes, I'm fairly certain I had a DVD player by that point. Like we bought a DVD player. I mean, it was late 90s. We bought one. And The Matrix was out on DVD.
Hell yeah.
And we bought that.
That's a horny movie.
For me personally. Keanu.
Keanu, baby.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Good to know. I'll file that away in
my... What if it had been like, I'm so horny for Hugo Weaving?
Well, I mean that really wouldn't be even all that shocking for a while. I think there's a lot of girls who would like dig on Hugo Weaving, right? Whether it's, I mean, you know, probably maybe more Lord of the Rings Hugo Weaving,
or V from Vendetta.
Hugo or Weaving.
V. You never actually see his face.
Yeah, you don't see his face, but I mean, the character is such. I think, and even you know Lawrence Fishburne. Why not? Yeah.
I'm also very fond of Carrie Moss. I think she's a very handsome woman. Y2K. Final thoughts.
My first exposure to, oh, the world's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'd certainly seen plenty of that in the past, but I mean, obviously with the year 2000, it was special. We had both the stuff that you would get when you enter a new set of like 1,000 years. I believe even in a video they talked about when your change to 1,000, there was all sorts of stuff. But with this particular circumstance, we had that combined with this technological
this technological angle at it. And frankly, I think it did a lot to really inoculate me for all future doomsday based on arbitrary dates sort of situation. Mm-hmm. Like when that 2012 thing was happening. Remember,
oh, that was 2012? Fun. Yeah, the Mayan or the Aztec calendar or something ends.
Right.
2012. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I've seen this before. Yeah. I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And then, gosh, even that the one thing where that one, some television preacher guy, he made two separate predictions within 1 year for the end of the world, like back in 2014.
I do remember that. Yep.
Yeah. There was a billboard for that in Carson City.
Counterpoint. What if the apocalypse did happen? But it was so fucking boring, no one noticed.
Actually, I have kind of encountered people who have expressed maybe not necessarily that exact sentiment, but kind of somewhere along those lines. That, and you know, the thing is since 9/11 happened the next year.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that for our 9/11 special.
Okay.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. That was a joke. We're not doing a 9/11
special. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man. Who would we get letters?
We'd get so many letters.
So many letters.
Let's open up the old CBS mailbag.
From my recollection, isn't the conceptualization of the end times, depending on whether you believe it's 7 years or 70, is that the first half of it, like things are kind of shitty, but they're not really apocalypse. It's only when you get to the halfway mark that things really get, you know, freaking crazy.
Can't wait. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess so. You know, one could wonder, like, hey, maybe it started in 2000 and we have to wait another 16 years to really get to the, I mean, in all honesty, I will confess, you know, the last 19 years haven't been particularly fantastic, though really they're really not that much out of proportion to many other periods of time. So,
you know, I bet this is still better than like the bubonic plague time in Europe.
Bubonic plague, World War II and the preceding Great Depression. Certainly living through the Mongol conquest probably wasn't that great.
Yeah, that was probably really shitty.
So much awfulness throughout almost the entirety of history.
That's why I can't wait just for the, you know, for the comet.
Are we thinking that maybe we're just going to be pro apocalypse now?
I've been pro apocalypse for a very long time.
but I mean, is that the official stand of our podcast?
I don't know, man. I think our podcast is kind of like a car or another inanimate object. It can't really have a stance. You and I individually can have a stance.
Right.
But can the podcast have a stance?
I don't know. In all honesty, I have to say, like, the prospect of just wiping out all of humanity, if it happens, I guess I'm becoming less bothered by it with each passing year.
Yeah, humanity fucking sucks.
We know date certain that a global computer crisis will occur. Only its severity remains to be determined.
This is completely unrelated to the Y2K video, but it might be of interest to the very first person who became a patron for this program. She seems to enjoy Robbie's workplace foibles stories. This one, okay, so at my workplace, we have these briquettes, sort of shaped like a cone, but not, without a point, we were supposed to take them to places and sort of throw them in and put them at about 10-foot intervals from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss, like, one day he drove me out to show me this one specific location, and then he put some briquettes in my hand because there was this one, like, small pond that needed to be briquetted. And...
is there a plane flying over it?
There is a helicopter flying over. Okay. Yeah, you can hear that.
Yeah, I could hear that. I thought it was the Y2K video. But I realized it was coming from your audio.
No, I just have that on mute. Right now I'm watching some gal stack case after case of applesauce onto her pantry shelves. Where I'm on the video, they're talking about ways to prepare for Y2K.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, they're just showing this girl, like, really, she's really stacking up her pantry. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had that much food in my pantry.
Would you want it to be, like, all applesauce, though?
Well, it's not just all applesauce. She had a bunch of other stuff there. It's just, like, that was what she was particularly stacking on. And really, even, like, they're listing all the stuff that, like, to be prepared for. In regards to Y2K, and I'm looking at this list, and it says sporadic electricity, limited heat, no refrigerator, stores out of stock, faulty phone, credit cards won't work, bank account errors, emergency services limited, no paycheck. I'm reading all that, and it's like, it sounds just sort of like my everyday life.
You're living in Y2K every day. It's Y2K.
Yeah, basically. Only without the excuse to just go batshit crazy. No, sorry. To get back to about the workplace story. So he wanted me to throw like 4 or 5 briquettes into this very small pond.
Mm-hmm. Briquettes? Like, do you barbecue with?
No. It's just our term for these large mass of the because usually we're throwing out little granules of our product or stuff to treat stagnant ponds and stuff. But like if it's like a body of water where we throw these things in, and they're just a large mass of the same stuff, so they last for like 150 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so. And we just call them briquettes. But like I said, they're shaped like a cone, but if you lopped off the pointy part of it. So I throw the first one in. And then I throw the second one in. And it is not 10 feet away from the first one. It's much closer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss is watching this. I'm like, oh, God. I really have to... I have to, you know, do better. So I throw in another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about halfway in between the first and second briquettes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have one more briquette left. And I've briquetted like 1/3 of the area of this pond that needs to be treated. And so I throw this final one in. And it lands literally in the exact same spot the first briquette went in.
What are you doing?
My boss was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And he turns around and just like walks off. I mean, he's not literally angry that I've just wasted like $100 worth of briquettes.
Uh-huh.
There's like some tongue in cheek. There was tongue in cheek to the way he said it. I mean, if anything, it came across more like that he was just so ashamed of my athletic prowess that he just couldn't watch anymore.
I imagine he was like the Kathy cartoon and like tearing his hair out when he's you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. That's, I think that was pretty much the sentiment. I sure hope the people at home got their
definitely got their money's worth, baby.
Yeah,
I'm gonna sprinkle in all kinds of 2,000 refs drops, and probably end it with that REM song.
Oh, okay. And I don't know that R.E.M. song.
So, well, I'll just sing it because we don't have the money to actually pay for it. So
okay,
it'll be something like "It's the End of the World."
Oh, they're the ones who do that song.
It, yeah.
Okay.
Song.
Yeah. How appropriate.
Yeah.
Should we? What do we want to do for the next reward?
Well, we could talk about 9/11. I don't think that's a fun option. You know, we could talk. We've done minisodes having to do with ghosts, mm-hmm. and we've done minisodes about ETs. Or
oh, UFOs. You know. If you were still on Facebook and you were following the reenacted fans Facebook page that Alyssa made,
mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of Bigfoot related memes going on.
Let's
there.
Let's fucking talk about Bigfoot. Let's get that Yeti stuff going.
You want to talk about Bigfoot? All right.
Or we can talk about, like, cryptids.
Wait, what was that?
Cryptids. You know, Bigfoot, Nessie.
Oh, that's a term. I've never heard that. I know of cryptozoology is the term for trying to study these.
Right. But cryptids are the subject matter.
The actual creatures. Mm-hmm. Oh.
We could talk about that.
Okay.
That seems, since apparently our listeners have a Bigfoot fetish. Totally understandable.
What alternative option do we want to come up with?
Okay, so this cryptids, and we want you guys to tell us what you want to hear. So we could talk about cryptids, or we could talk about how Beyonce is in the Illuminati.
What the fuck is that?
There is a whole... Listen, if you want to do a deep dive on YouTube and really waste some of your time, there is a whole series of videos by different people explaining how Michael Jackson was in the Illuminati, how Beyonce's in the Illuminati, how Barack Obama's in the Illuminati, how Hillary Clinton's in the Illuminati. If you really want to hurt your brain... It sounds like you don't want to do that one.
Oh, are you serious? I thought it was just a joke.
Well, I mean, this is all a joke.
Well, yeah. No, that's true.
Y2K videos over.
Wow, yours finished before?
Yeah, it was...
I did pause mine at one point to read some stuff on it.
It was edited in Auburn, California. That's weird.
Did you catch that Titanic footage at the end, near the end?
Yeah, there was a bunch of footage of, like, from the 1930s of people building skyscrapers and doing the Lindy Hop and
mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on in this video.
The disaster can wait around every corner or something.
Well, it kind of sounds like, since I don't have another idea that you like, that we're going to talk about cryptids the next time we do one of these.
Cryptids?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm happy to break out the Time Life books on Jersey Devil. Let's do it. If you guys
you have those books?
I can acquire them before the next time we do this.
Oh, okay.
Because
no,
you have
I'm
them,
just...
right? Don't you? I'm thinking of my mom.
You may be thinking of your mom.
I just remember those were a real treat, and they were real spooky when I was growing up. We had those in the house. There was about aliens, and there was one about cryptids.
Hey, maybe at some point in the future we should do a mini-sode on the Time Life books.
Yeah, there was like three of them, and I'm not remembering what the third one is, but there was definitely UFOs and aliens, and there was cryptids, and then there was something
else,
and I don't remember
what it is. Yeah, no, I mean, if you want to do cryptids, that's fine, especially considering that, oh my god, they're throwing Douglas MacArthur quotes at us at the very end of the Y2K video. We're going to record a lot of special features stuff.
So I don't know how to sign off on a minisode, and I don't remember what we did last time.
You mean a rewards.
A rewards, yes. Rewards episode. Member episode.
Yeah. I guess if you're a rewards Patreon, if you want us to do it. No, I'm not going to ask them for input on it. We'll just sign off how we usually sign off.
Okay. Well, for every mystery, there's a other separate mystery on YouTube. What do you say usually?
I actually kind of like that one. For every mystery, there is someone somewhere who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone is watching. Perhaps it's you.
Goodbye.